Hello, and welcome to another episode of Talking Across Activisms here on WHUS Stores, where we talk all things activism here in Connecticut and beyond. I'm your host, Gabriella Ramos-King. On today's episode, we'll be sitting down with Chanel Morris of Grow Hartford Youth Program for a discussion about food justice, youth empowerment, and Grow Hartford's efforts to build a better food system for their community. Be sure to check out Talking Across Activism's accompanying blog, where we post articles about topics similar to our discussions here on the podcast. Before we jump in, I want to remind our listeners that the views presented in this program may not reflect the views of the University of Connecticut, WHUS Radio, or the staff of the station.
My name is Chanel. I am the Grow Hartford Program Coordinator. I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago, but I live here in Hartford, Connecticut now.
And how did you first get involved with Grow Hartford, and how did you become the Program Coordinator?
I actually got an internship with Grow Hartford when I was a senior at Trinity College. So I was there when they were drafting the 10 Slices of Justice. I believe I actually came up with the name, the 10 Slices of Justice, and they had modeled it after the Black Panther Party and their 10-point program. So they were doing really awesome work. This was something that I didn't even really realize was such an issue, which was poor school food. Like all of those students, I myself went to public school in the Bronx. And yeah, the food was kind of crappy, but it was something that you just accepted. And so I was like, yeah, this is really cool. And this is really important work. So I got introduced to it there. And then after graduating from grad school, they had a position open for the youth organizer position. And so I became that, the youth organizer. But after my supervisor left, I was responsible for running the program by myself. So that's what I do now.
So can you go into a little bit more about what the 10 Slices of Justice for Hartford Public Schools entails?
Yeah, definitely. So the 10 Slices, like I said, model after the 10-point program. So it's 10 demands, and they include local food, right? Local food means healthier food, and it also means supporting the local economy. So that's super important. A lot of the food is imported, a lot of it's packaged, a lot of it is frozen, it's not fresh. So local food is extremely important for the nutritional value, and also, like I said, uplifting the economy here. We also have bigger portions. Bigger portions is extremely important because students have such tiny portions to go off of, and they have to wait the whole day until they have their next meal or such, until they go home. So we demand that students have bigger portions. Sometimes they may have leftovers, but most times they're certainly restricted. And sometimes the USDA and those guidelines, they require students have a certain amount of calories, but it's almost like from K through eighth grade or to 12th grade, the calorie count is almost the same. Like, how does that make any sense?
So it doesn't.
It just really doesn't. And so it's misguided even by the USDA, which is supposed to look out for students' best interest, but their idea of health is very limited. We advocate for bigger portions. We also advocate for better quality food just in general, because the food is, like I said, prepackaged. Most things are being heated up. There's lots of high preservatives in the food, lots of sodium. And so it just doesn't taste as good as cooked food, right? And it's also not as healthy. So certainly, better quality food. I can't tell you how many times students complain about the food, just even what the food looks like. It just doesn't even look appetizing. Why can't you, if it's going to be fake food, why can't it look good at least?
And that's one thing that is actually up on the Grow Hartford Instagram that we can encourage everyone to go check out. And we'll leave it in the description of this podcast as well. There's always pictures of the meals in Hartford being put up on Instagram, so you can see for yourself.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's part of our visual campaign. So we collect photos from students, from Hartford Public School students, and from other school districts as well, so that we're able to kind of compare and contrast and see the difference. But those pictures are powerful, and people kind of understand, like, wow, this is what my kids are eating, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is important for that visual effect on the community. Mm-hmm. So we're also, another thing we advocate for is better lunchtime. Sometimes this can be overlooked, but some students are eating lunch early, could be like 10:30 a.m., could be 11 a.m., and then they have to go the rest of the day hungry. So schools need to rectify that. Obviously, you know, there are different school periods and tons of students, but it should be prioritized that the students are not going hungry. So if you must have an early lunchtime, there needs to be a snack break or some type of food break later on during the day so that people are not hungry. And the same is the opposite, right? Like some people are eating lunch so late that they're going like the first portion of the day super, super hungry. They have to wait very late in the day. And schools need to rectify that and know that students cannot learn if they are hungry, period.
Definitely.
So the fifth slice that we have is knowledge behind the food. Students have a right to know what's in their food. They need to know the ingredients as well and how the food was prepared. Like we are as a culture, super alienated from how our food is made, the ingredients that are in our food, and students need to understand what's going in their food, right? Some ingredients, you can't recognize the name, you have no clue. Just even, you know, if they know what's in the food, can identify what those things are, they can make healthier food decisions for themselves as well. Mm-hmm. So, but even lots of schools, they don't necessarily teach nutrition at all. So that's part of the plan too, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of not educate students on food as well. But this is partly the school food needs to say what is in the food, but also classes need to explain what these things are, right? And what it does mm-hmm. to the body and such. So not just the knowledge, but just a step further, as in the institution itself taking on some type of responsibility to explain it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember when I was in public school, I didn't go to school in Hartford, but we had like cooking class that was offered. And in those cooking classes, we were also offered or given, nutritional education. We would have like little quizzes about nutrition. And that's such a thing that I think everybody should have that knowledge on, that you kind of take for granted once you kind of know it. But, you know, most kids don't really have that information.
Wow, that's really cool that you did have that information. But yeah, that's totally not available to everyone. And something super basic, right? Like what we put into our body is essential for our well-being. Why isn't that a top priority?
Yeah.
Right. And so the sixth slice is cooking, not heating up, which kind of goes back to what I said about like quality food. So a lot of Hartford schools, they don't actually have kitchens, like actual kitchens. It's just like ovens and microwaves. So we've been working to try make sure that the buildings that are built for schools these days are built with like a full kitchen. Number seven is certainly more options. Kids, they just don't have a ton of options. Vegetarian or gluten-free, or they need kosher or whole. More options in general, a salad bar, a sandwich bar, you know, certain different ideas, right? Rotating, not the same thing every other day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes that happens, right? Just more options in general. And that kind of goes with culturally appropriate food at the same time, right? More options. Mm-hmm. The school should certainly just reflect the diversity of the school district itself. And that is important. My own program, I have students from all over the world. Grow Hartford is a very, very diverse program. So I can only imagine that Hartford Public Schools are very, very diverse places, but the school food does not reflect that, you know? And if they do, it's on very like, maybe some very basic levels, right? Like I've seen like that they've had like plantains. They do have like beef patties, although students do complain that they just don't get it right, right? So there is there are attempts. So I will say that, you know, maybe Hartford public schools have made some attempts, but they need to go even further. Mm-hmm. And with new immigration and new immigrants here in Hartford, the school should be on top of that as well. Like, the demographics are changing, and so should the food in our schools.
Definitely.
And so the last two slices, one is hot breakfast. Hot breakfasts are more filling for students and gets them starting their day with their bellies filled, which is important for learning. And the last slice is youth voice. So youth voice should be implemented in every step of the food decisions that schools are making. So can they taste test something before it's brought on into the school, right? Mm-hmm. Can they take a survey so that their priorities are taken into account? Can they give feedback throughout the year about how the school food is going? Like, a lot of schools don't necessarily have feedbacks and evaluations about the school food. So making that a priority is kind of what we're trying to do at Grow Hartford.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, people in general and kids need some choice and some sovereignty in what they're eating every day. And like, school is a second home for kids. You know, you're there for like a third of your day every day. And one of the slices you mentioned that I am particularly interested in is the demand that culturally appropriate food be served to students. So why is that so important?
Culturally appropriate food is really important to me, because I also look at it historically, and I look at how food has been used as a colonizing tool. So even when European colonizers came over here and started taking the land, a key strategy to disorient and defeat the natives was to kill off their food source. So buffalo was killed en masse, since Native American culture was centered around the buffalo, right? People were displaced. So people who were, you know, using the rivers, they were removed from those food sources. People who were hunting were removed, right? And when they went to the Native Americans were taken, the children were taken to boarding schools, and there they were introduced to an American diet, mm-hmm. right, of starch, of carbs, and of dairy, right? Things that they were not eating prior to European colonization. So just even the fact that these foods that are being promoted in the schools is reflective of a white standard diet, right? And white mm-hmm. dietary standards. And that's what's happening. That has continued to happen even in schools right now. The food that is there, the milk, for one, milk is huge in schools. Dairy is huge in schools. But the majority of the world is lactose intolerant. So why is there no dairy alternatives, in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the majority of the world is lactose intolerant. So one, I think dairy in school is a huge deal. And that some alternatives need to be implemented. But also just kind of like the fast food and the junk food that doesn't necessarily reflect what students are eating at home. But the purpose is so that they kind of market themselves. The junk food companies, almost in a sense, they market themselves by having these students there. So students don't see themselves reflected in the school environment. And so it's exclusive, right? It's excluding you. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily matter. Your dietary restrictions don't matter. There are people who aren't able to eat pork, who aren't able to eat beef because of personal choices, because of religious choices. And sometimes they don't have the option, right? They may not mm-hmm. be able to have access to halal food, to kosher food. And so they're in a sense being forced to eat whatever the schools provide, even if it goes against their beliefs, their religious beliefs, their moral beliefs, and what they're comfortable with. So it is, in a sense, you know, diet and food is a colonizing tool, mm-hmm. right? And it's still being implemented. People are still being marginalized through food.
Yeah, thank you. I think that is such an important perspective to bring to the table in this conversation. And there's so many aspects to how our food system's working that, you know, don't have justice behind them. So that's why I think those 10 slices are so great. Can you go into also how you know, the inadequacies of the current food system affect young people?
Definitely. I think, one, there is, young people don't necessarily know about the food system or how their food is created and what goes into their food, right? Or the amount of sodium, the amount of sugar, the dyes, the preservatives. That information is kept from them, almost hidden. The schools should be implementing that information, but it's not, right? So, and the food companies don't necessarily want educated consumers, nor educated young people. So what is happening is a lot of people are, they may take what they're eating as healthy or normalized, and it's affecting their body, right? It's affecting their body, it's affecting their health, and your health is your wealth, right? So I personally feel like by not really understanding all levels of the food system, people are, in a sense, kind of destroying their bodies, destroying their health. And even parents really are not super aware because they don't know, because it's a cycle, right? Mm-hmm. It's a cycle, and I see it all the time. So I would say that with the Grow Hartford Youth Program, it is getting students to be just a bit more educated on the food system, what's in the food, how it's made without justice, all the levels of what justice means, right? Like fair payment for the workers, mm-hmm. fair working conditions, you know, treating the animals that we may eat with respect and dignity. All of these things kind of go into a fair and just food system. So at Grow Hartford, we try to kind of touch and tackle on a little bit of everything, since it's a mm-hmm. very vast topic, but it's all very, very important. It is about the justice behind the food. It is about the health, your own health. And it's also about the health of the future generations that are to come. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Definitely, yeah. And how's Grow Hartford empowering young people, and especially kids of color?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my background being, you know, someone who has studied, you know, I studied Latin American Caribbean studies, but part of that history is understanding colonization, understanding white supremacy, and understanding history. And so since I guess I'm a nerd like that, I bring all of that to the forefront of understanding what white supremacy has to do with food. And it is directly, it's connected to race, right? And even just like teaching students what I'm teaching them right now, I can see that they feel empowered mm-hmm. by learning the information that they're learning, because they're being given a new pair of eyes in which to watch the world through. Mm-hmm. And they're able to see how it's connected to absolutely everything. So we talk about white supremacy, we talk about racism, we talk about capitalism, we talk about institutional oppression and all of these things. And, you know, it's not because they're less than, and this is just their destiny, right? They're being oppressed for a reason, right? So that their greatness is not realized, because that's what's truly threatening to the establishment. So I certainly teach in a way that empowers young people to love themselves. I think that that's key. Self-esteem and self-love is key in human mm-hmm. beings. And so sometimes not eating well or not caring about what we're eating and what we're putting in ourselves is in some ways like acts of self-sabotage or acts of, I don't really care about myself, right? And when you see, you know, in the news, so many instances where the system treats people of color like subhumans, we manifest those things in how we treat ourselves, right? And so mm-hmm. I think if I want students to eat healthy and take that seriously, I need to teach them how valuable and worthy they are and how important they are, mm-hmm. which is not often taught or seen. One, there's a whitewashed curriculum that they learn in school. Then there's whitewashed media that they see on TV, right? So a lot of things don't necessarily reflect them. And so in the curriculum, I make sure to reflect them 100%, right? In a very, very empowering way. And so I would hope that teaching that self-love correlates to wanting to eat healthier and wanting their community to eat healthier and be healthier.
That's amazing. Thanks. So what projects is Grow Hartford currently working on?
So we have a few different things that we're working on. We're working on our community convos. So we're trying to address food insecurity in Hartford. And so biweekly on Sundays, we're meeting to discuss ways to, one, create some immediate help because people, you know, it's a pandemic and people are in grave need right now. So how can we help them immediately? But also laying the groundwork for like a transformative community food system, right? That is inclusive of residents here and where residents have the power and the knowledge and the education to grow their own food, right? Distribute it to their own community, have their own economy based off of it. So I think that, you know, while those things may come, you know, not now, not immediately, but like, you know, in a few years or so, we're laying the groundworks for that in those meetings. So that's really exciting to me. So we're working on those projects there. And a lot of it is also like focusing on education, like how can people grow their own food? Where can they find healthy food in the community? How to cook healthy food, you know, different cultural foods as well. So we're using like our social media platform, our website, and our new YouTube channel. Get those ideas out there. We're also improving access to food through different initiatives, through the mini food pantries, delivering raised beds to different Hartford residents and teaching them how to grow their own food. We have an urban agricultural farming series coming up. So students are going to learn how to, you know, how to farm, the basics of it. And they'll be able to keep their plot as well and check on it even throughout next year.
Awesome.
So just to get them engaged, you know, get them engaged. The growing part is really, really important. And so I'm really glad that Grow Hartford is taking that part more seriously or like implementing it more. That was a missing piece. We talked a lot about food, but we weren't really growing. So that's kind of been one of my goals. I'm really excited that that's happening as well. Other projects, we're going to continue with our visual campaign to see what students are eating throughout this crazy time of COVID. Some students are hybrid, some students aren't. Some students are eating at home. Some students may be going out to get whatever school meal that was prepared. So what does that look like right now? Are students' needs being met? They weren't being met before. You know what I mean? So, you know, we need to really assess and try to understand what is happening right now at this moment. So part of Grow Hartford, we are going to create surveys, send out assessments, do like phone banking, phone calls just to people in the community and say like, what's going on? What's your experience? What are your needs? You know, and see what can we do and what direction my youth want to go in with addressing some of those issues.
Yeah. Awesome. So a lot of big stuff happening.
Yeah, and we're doing weekly movie screenings, and we are doing more trips, farm visits. So we're definitely trying to do a lot. It is a robust program.
So for all of the listeners who want to get involved with Grow Hartford, be part of these initiatives, be part of the urban farming projects, all of those things, how can they get connected?
They can certainly reach out to me. My email is chanel@hartfordfood.org. They can follow us on Instagram, where we post different events that are coming up. And we are working, our website is under construction. So once that's up, I would direct people to that. But certainly reaching out to me directly is the best way and the easiest way. People have already been doing that, and it's been great to see so many people from all walks of life be interested in helping out the Grow Hartford Youth Program. So we're very, very excited about the direction we're going in.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in for this interview today. I hope everybody had a chance to, you know, learn a lot from Chanel and from Grow Hartford and everything that they have to offer. We'll leave all the links in the description on whus.org, where the podcast will be housed. And thank you much so much for coming. Is there anything else you would like to add to the conversation for right now?
Just grow your own food. I could just send a little PSA to people about grow your own food, get involved with growing your own food, eat local food, like your health is your wealth. And, you know, right now we're in the midst of a global pandemic and the only thing we have to defend ourselves is our immune systems. And the only way our immune system can be healthy is based on what we put into it. And there's nothing better than whole fruits and whole vegetables, right? Like not necessarily those supplements and those protein powders and those things, but you know, what nature provided us. So that's what I would say to people.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
That concludes this episode of Talking Across Activisms here on WHUS Stores. Once again, I want to thank Chanel for representing Grow Hartford in the enriching discussion we had today. If you want to learn more or get involved with Grow Hartford, you can find links to their website and social media pages in the description of this episode on whusstores.org. Thank you for listening today, and remember to follow the podcast on Instagram at Talking Across Activisms for updates and exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming episodes, and find the blog at talkingacrossactivisms.wordpress.com. I've been your host, Gabriella Ramos-King, for Talking Across Activisms here on WHUS Stores.